Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 29. Text 2 to 5. I will read text 6 as well, for the text of filter. Shamo dama sitik seksha. Tapasajam dayar smriti. Justis chagos parashradha. Vedaya disvanivriti Kamaya Manas Krishna. Is it looking good? Sambhashividasukham Marotsahoya Shapriti Hasyam Miriam Palodhyama Shamodama Sitiksha Tapasajam Dayasmriti Tustis Jagos Prihashradha Vedaya Disanivriti Kamaya Madasrishna Stambashi Vidasukham Marotsa hoya shapritir Hasyan miriam palodhyama Shamodama sitik sheksha Tapasa jamdayar smriti Tustis jagos prita shradha Hridaya jiswanivriti Kamai Hamadastrisna Stambashi Pidhasukam Madhutsa Hoya Shapriti Asyan Viryam Balodhyama. Samadama Tikiksha Tapasajam Dayasmiti I think that's only half of this finished half. I'll read the translation. Krodolobanitam himsa yashadam bhaktamakali shokamoha vishadarti nidrashabhi anudyama sagvasya radasas chaityas tamasas chanu purvasham vritayorvanita praya sanipatamatur shrinu. Translation. Mind and sense control, tolerance, discrimination, sticking to one's prescribed duty, truthfulness, mercy, careful study of the past and future, satisfaction in any condition, generosity, renunciation of sense gratification, faith in the spiritual master, being embarrassed at improper action, charity, simplicity, humbleness and satisfaction, qualities of the mode of goodness. Affection, even in gain, false pride, praying for material advancement, considering oneself different and better than others, sense gratification, rash eagerness to fight, the fondness for hearing oneself praised, the tendency to ridicule others, advertising one's own prowess and justifying one's actions by one's strength and quality, and one's strength are qualities of the mode of passion. Intolerant anger, stinginess, speaking without scriptural authority, violent hatred, living as a parasite, hypocrisy, chronic fatigue, quarrel, lamentation, delusion, unhappiness, depression, sleeping too much, false expectations, fear, and laziness constitute the major qualities of the mode of ignorance. Now please hear about the combination of these three modes. Text. I'll read text 6 because there's no purport to text 2 to 5. Sanipatas tamaham niti mamityuda vayamati vyavahara sanipato manomatvindiyashubhi. Translation. My dear Uddhava, the combination of all three modes is present in the mentality of I and mine. The ordinary transactions of this world, which are carried out through the agency of the mind, the objects of perception, the senses and the vital airs of the physical body, are also based on the combination of the modes. Purport. The illusory concept of I and mine occurs by the mixture of the three modes of nature. A person in goodness may feel, I am peaceful. One in passion may think, I am lusty. And one in ignorance may think, I am angry. Similarly, one may think, my peace, my lust, or my anger. One completely absorbed in the mentality of being peaceful could not work in the material world. He would lack any impulse to perform activity. Similarly, one absorbed in lust would be blinded without at least a tinge of peacefulness or restraint. One overwhelmed with anger could not function properly in the material world without the mixture of other qualities. Thus we find that a material mode does not occur in a pure isolated form, but rather is mixed with other modes, thereby making possible normal functioning within this world. Ultimately, one should think, I am an eternal servant of Lord Krishna, and my only position is loving service to the Lord. This is the pure state of consciousness beyond the material modes of nature. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshum Nitanyena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Slapitanyena Bhutale Swayam Nipakadamayam Dharati Swapram Dikam Vancha Kapa Tumitascha Kapa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavana Bhiru Vaishnava Bhiru Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So once again, we're hearing some more descriptions about the modes of material nature, and in this case, the modes of material nature and beyond. So Krishna will speak about how to transcend these modes of material nature. So in the previous chapters, Krishna's conversation with Uddhava is very similar to the conversation Krishna has had with Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna is asking Krishna how to transcend the modes of material nature. Krishna once again also dedicates an entire chapter to discuss the modes of material nature, what the qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance are, and how one can elevate themselves from the three modes of material nature which bind a living entity. So the three modes, of course, are manifesting in the material energy. So Krishna himself is not tainted by any of the three modes of material nature. Krishna is Nirguna, he is above the modes of material nature. But the nature or the design of the living entity, the conditioned soul, is that we are a marginal energy. We're tathasta, which means we lie in between. We can either be attracted to Krishna's external energy or Krishna's internal energy. So in that way we do get covered by the modes of material nature. So what's important for us is to know how to actually not get affected by these modes, and if we do, how to extricate ourselves from the modes of specifically passion and ignorance. And if we situate ourselves properly in the mode of goodness, also how to transcend that mode of goodness. Because mode of goodness is not the perfection of life. We have to go beyond the mode of goodness and situate ourselves on the Vasudev platform of pure goodness. So in text 2 to 5, we're hearing about the different characteristics or how we can detect the different modes not only around us but also within ourselves. So we have from the mode of goodness down to the mode of ignorance. A few hints about how these modes of material nature manifest in our activities. So we can see the modes acting in our in the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada is explaining, I think in 14:10, he's explaining how the modes of material nature, they manifest through our eating, our sleeping habits, our recreation, and our interaction with others, so many different ways. And as we read here, we'll be able to see which one we're functioning under, even when we try very hard to elevate our consciousness, when we try to purify our existence in the material world. Now, it's very good for us to know the modes of material nature, to know how they function. We have to understand this knowledge, because if we don't, then we get burnt or we get poked by the external energy. And Krishna explains that it's very difficult to cross over this energy. Okay, so when we're in our conditioned state, of course, when we are identifying with matter, when we think that we're the body, when we hold dear to us the temporary flickering happiness of this world. So just as when you go to war, or when you're in a competition, if you're an athlete, you have to know what your opponents are like. You have to know who you're competing against. So when I used to play tennis, and we travel, and you'd know who is who. So you'd look at the draw, and then you'll see whose half am I on. Am I with the number one seed? And am I with the number 13? And then you're able to know, oh, they're very good at playing tennis in this specific way. They have a very fast serve and they're very quick on the court. Oh, I'm playing this person, they're very slow, they can't deal with high balls, with low balls, etc. So if you're an athlete, you know you're doing long distance, you have to pace yourself because other runners are going to start in a specific way. Similarly, in football or in soccer, if you're, I don't know what the footy, soccer, it's anyway, when people are kicking a ball, you know, if Manchester United is playing Liverpool, you know they have their best defenders, you know who's on the side of Liverpool and who to look out for, etc. So you have to know your game, you have to know who you're up against. So we're living in the material world and it's a mixed bag, right? You have, you know, some places, some people are situated more in the mode of goodness, some are more in the mode of ignorance, some are controlled by passion. Most of us are controlled by Rajagun and Tamagun. So we have to know, okay, what am I up against in this material world? You know, the modes are always competing with each other. This was explained in the previous chapter, how the modes of material nature, they're always competing who's going to win. You know, I'm going to try and be this specific way, and then you become covered by laziness or by anxiety, and in that way passion is winning. Less understanding, less knowledge, less intellect functioning, so you know you're being dominated by another mode as compared to being equipoised and being tolerant and being steady. So there's constant competition all the time between the modes of material nature. So we have to know how these modes are functioning. It's not that we just have to, as the previous week's classes were explaining, that it's important for us to systematically go through the Bhagavatam and understand time and time again about this creation process. So we have to understand time and time again how Krishna is placing the different energies and what their function is. So our function in the material world is not to become comfortable. It's not to become properly situated only in the mode of goodness. That is not the goal of our existence. The goal of our existence is not to have a perfect brahmachari life, perfect vihasa life, perfect, you know, vanaprasa or perfect sannyas. That is not the goal of life. The goal of life is to understand that I am an eternal servant of Krishna and accept Krishna's arrangement to bring you to that realization. So we actually have to break all these different external attachments that are stemming from this I and mine conception of life. So it's very good that we're going through this certain aspect of philosophy, which is dealing with creation and how the living entities get impelled by different desires to act. And these desires are influenced by our association with one of the three modes. And in the material world, it won't only be one pure mode, will always be mixed. So you can see this every day. Sometimes we're very angry. We wake up in a very angry mode. We're very ugra. And then the next day, Jani Sai Guru Pramanande, let's go on a full Harinam and we're all blissful. And then the next day we become affected by another mode. Or different junctions of the day. You know, our mind is controlled, our mind is not controlled, our senses are everywhere, we can't discriminate. So in that way we're constantly being pulled. If we're not properly situated in service, we become confused. So we have to understand why Krishna is speaking this knowledge again and again. Why is it that Krishna always has to bring back the element of creation again? Why is Krishna explaining the modes of material nature again? Why is Krishna always bringing about to us that we have to understand that we're not the controllers, we're not the maintainers? Because that is the main thing that stops us from actually accessing Krishna. The minute we deny that Krishna is the proprietor or the maintainer, or is the supreme controller, we deny his personal form, we deny his character, his activities, his potency to actually give us intelligence, then we keep on gliding down into the lower species. We don't make use of the bad bargain, of course, of having taken birth in this material world, where we can use these scriptures to teach ourselves how to get out of this cycle of repeated birth and death. So Krishna is showing us, you know, if in the beginning you can't really understand my activities, my pastimes, then I'll give you all this knowledge for you to understand my opulences, to understand how powerful I am. Then at least maybe at some point you will start to accept that indeed I am supreme. Because if we're thinking we're supreme, are we free from all these different combinations of the mode of material nature? Are we controlling our body? Are we controlling the planet? Are we controlling the universe? Are we free from Adi Atmika Klesha, Adi Bhautika and Adi Devika? Are we free from that? So if we're not, then we understand the modes act upon the conditioned soul, because the conditioned soul is identifying with that matter to be the real identity. But through study, we're supposed to understand that actually I have nothing to do with matter. I mean, the soul is trapped, of course, in the material body because we've chosen to come and try and enjoy separately from Krishna. So this dangerous conception of I and mine is manifested through the different modes of material nature in our different activities. Now, when I was reading this verse, there's one specific verse from Bhagavad Gita that popped into my mind, which I see as one of the, you know, the seed mantras for materialistic people living in Kali Yuga. I'll just read it. It's coming from the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the divine and demoniac creation. So Krishna here is speaking and he's saying, Idam ajamaya labdhan imam prashya manoratam idam astidam apime bhavishyati punadhanam asho maya hatash ratu hanisya cha param api ishparoham aham bogi sidoham palavam suki ajo bijanavam asmi konyosti sadro maya yakshya dasyami modisya etya gyana vimohita. In the translation, the demonic person thinks, so much wealth do I have today and I will gain more according to my schemes. Right? So we're thinking all our activities are based on our little puny efforts to try and enjoy. Right? So much is mine now and it will increase in the future more and more. So we constantly want to strive for more enjoying. So we're trying to enjoy the material nature, we're trying to enjoy the sense objects over and over again. We're just trying to, we keep on trying to chew the truth. And this is what we see happening all the time. So the mode of passion, mode of ignorance, not having any knowledge or understanding that this universal creation has a designer behind it, that everything is put into a certain place, into certain motion, because it has to function in a specific way. So all the aquatics are created for a specific reason. All the birds are created for a specific reason. All the worms have their place. All the trees, they have their place. He is my enemy and I have killed him. And my other enemies will also be killed. Right, so I want to enjoy. If your existence means that I can't enjoy, you're my enemy. And enjoying, I'm not just talking about, you know, being the best at this or that. Any activity that comes to or spark out you being put on a pedestal or being the most, you know, sincere, being the most intelligent or the most hardworking, or these things that push us towards being glorified. Right? This is what this verse is talking about. So anyone who comes and blocks that capacity of others to praise or glorify or for us to be seen as being great according to our body and expansions of the body, that person is an enemy. So even if someone comes, you see in different songs, in different movies, you always have rivals, right? You'll always have someone who wants to be better. And if that means I can't be the best, I should minimize their existence, or I should minimize their potency or their sincerity. And this is an ongoing thing. This is a constant competition that happens. I am the Lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. So if you do book distribution, people will say, yes, I'm very happy. I'm fine. Yeah, I know what's going on. I'm paying my bills on time. I'm very focused. I'm happy. I have a nice wife, nice family. And everything's great. Why do I need God? I don't have any questions. I have all my limbs are working properly. I don't need glasses. I don't need braces. You know, I'm pretty good. I'm designed pretty good. So I'm controlling everything around me, and I have no debts. Everything is just fine. But if you ask them, you know, what happens when you have, when you fall sick? You have a little bit of diarrhea, you have a little bit of constipation, you get some jaundice, or you get some fever. Where's your controlling power there? Stop blinking. Stop pleading. Stop answering the calls of nature. How powerful are you then? So people think that they're the Lord and Master of everything that they survey. They can't even see past certain, you know, distances or hear certain sounds. They're limited in so many capabilities. But because the material energy offers flickering moments, chapala sukha, right? Their happiness is just, it's literally like a spark. So if we were to switch this light on and off, it's like, yay, one day this, you know, it's like, bright, bright, bright. It's like a parade of misery. It's like, you have your Mumba parade, or you have the Mumba parade in Melbourne, and you used to have different floats coming, and the material world, the cycle of repeated suffering, and at one point, float number one, old age. Float number two, youth, right? Float number three, disease, malaria, tuberculosis, HIV, AIDS, etc., etc. And then you have, you know, you're young and you're adventurous and your body is strong, your physical body is strong, you're beautiful, etc. So you have this parade and it all looks nice externally. And it's going on and on and on. The suffering, the happiness is coming. The heat and the cold, the fame and the infamy is coming. And this is just what keeps happening. This is the parade of material suffering. So if we take shelter of the material modes of nature, this is what happens. One day suffering, the next day no suffering. One day suffering, next day no suffering. And that limited suffering we often see as happiness. Common people see it as happiness because I'm not really happy, I'm not suffering, but I'm happy. And so that I have my two legs, I have two eyes, I have a job, you know, everything is going well. So that means I'm happy. But you know, with time, we're still going to get grey hair. Our teeth are going to fall off. Or whatever great things happen to the material body. And we still see that, oh, I'm happy. That is still seen as happiness. So this is just material flickering. You know, it's just the absence of great distress. So we have our youth, we think it's the best thing in it. And we're going to be like that forever. Sometimes I try and think, yes, I'm actually going to grow old. I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to get wrinkled. I won't be able to dance in kirtan the same way. Because the material body with time is going to just start winding down. Right? So this is, sometimes it's very hard for us to see because we're still stuck in thinking we're this body at this moment. But later on, you know, we become covered by a mode of ignorance, or ignorance sets in, there's less passion, and then the body can't function in a specific way. So this is, you know, this mantra properly explains the world that we're living around. This is what people are going through. Although they won't say, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller in these words, but the actions are explaining the activity. The actions are speaking louder than their words. I am the richest man surrounded by aristocratic relatives. I am Prince this, or I am the Duchess of somewhere, I'm this and that. Therefore, my life is great. You know, some people don't have to work hard to survive in this world. They're born into rich families, okay? But they still go through the same miseries, right? You're either living in somewhere in Liberia, in West Africa, with no house, no food, no clothing, no electricity, or you're living in Melbourne. Let's say you live in Toorak, or whatever wealthy place they have in Melbourne. or you live in London, just by Westminster Abbey, or somewhere. But we still, you know, go through the same misery when you're a teenager, the same confusions are there. We still go through our different disease state, we'll still go through the old age phase, and the body will still dwindle, vanish, and will leave the body. So death is not discriminating upon you were born in the North Pole and I was born in the South Pole. So it's gonna catch up with everyone. We can't run, nor can we hide. There's none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give some charity, and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. So yes, sometimes thinking I have knowledge, I know that being a good citizen of this planet means I have to give in charity. Right, so I'm doing good for the nation. I'm extending myself, etc. But still, that doesn't bring about the understanding that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. As this, the translation to text 6 in the purport, you know, this I am mind tendency is supposed to be completely annihilated by I am a servant of Krishna. And this is my position. So this material consciousness will always be there, it will always remain until we come to a point of accepting that there is a superior, there is an authority besides me. Unless we arrive at that point, we'll still want to be the center of our activities. Unless we arrive to the point that Krishna exists as a person, an active person. He is not just sitting in the heart as a super soul. Just Krishna frees. Krishna is just there, not being active. You know, how is everything functioning in this world? We understand through the creation that Gavarakshav, that Mahavishnu, he's expanding himself in different ways and entering into different planets, entering into different living entities' hearts so that they become active and so that he may guide them. He sanctions, he oversees, he permits different activities. You know, so that means there's activity. He's not just not doing anything. So we have to accept that actually Krishna, who is the source of everything, is a person, and that he has created everything, the material and the spiritual world. That the material energy is created by Krishna and he is not affected by it. So if we have a doubt with this, of course, sometimes people ask, how can Krishna create the material energy and not be touched by it? How is it possible? That means he's just like me and you. He can be affected by matter. But the bhakti process is a process such that through practicing, because bhakti is a cultivation, by practicing devotional service, we get to understand how Krishna is above the modes of material nature. If we in a dry way try to speculate and try and figure out how Krishna is in my heart, is in your heart, Krishna is on the altar, Krishna is in Vaikuntha, Krishna is in Mathura and Goloka, and Krishna is everywhere else, and he's still having his pastimes of his cowherd boys, and he still remains full. It's not that Krishna is chopped up, there's specks of him everywhere. So for us to understand that, we have to engage in the process of bhakti, in the process of devotional service. Then we get to understand the conclusion of the Vedas. And this happens through the agency of the spiritual master. He reveals that knowledge in the heart when we are qualified, when we rise above the modes of material nature. Specifically, if we maintain the mode of goodness and we absorb this knowledge about Krishna, not just any knowledge, but transcendental knowledge. We can study all sorts of knowledge in different universities, etc., but it will not tell us how to stop the cycle of birth and death. That knowledge will not teach us how to transcend the modes of material nature or what the modes of material nature are, or to speak of transcend the modes. So we have to acquire transcendental knowledge. Knowledge about the modes of material nature is transcendental knowledge. although it feels like, oh, but it's not about Krishna and the gopis and Balaram. And yeah, it's nice, we'll get there. But we have to qualify ourselves and understand what the modes of material nature are, how they function, and how we shouldn't get so covered by them. So the modes of this chapter is teaching us that there are the modes of material nature, and their qualities are there. We read about them, we understand. We're not supposed to become comfortable with the modes of material nature. We're not supposed to be comfortable in material creation altogether. We should understand it's here to teach us a lesson. We're meant to go beyond the modes of material nature, as the chapter says, the three modes, and beyond, and to extricate ourselves from the modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita that we have to take to full devotional service. Not half and half, but full devotional service. That means we embrace Krishna as our supreme authority. That we surrender our activities, our mind, our body, our words in the service of Krishna, guided by the spiritual master. And that is how we transcend the modes. And it's not just philosophy. We have to put it to practice. We're not just saying, yes, I'm going to do this and that. We have to act it out. This is how we engage in full bhakti. Our minds, our words, our activities, they will deliver us to Krishna. The same body we have that we're enjoying materially, it's the same body that we'll use to serve Krishna. And in that way, this material energy, it won't really attack us so much. We'll eternally reside under Krishna's internal potency. So I'll stop there, and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions on what we've discussed.
Stuff like that, because I think you see it as more visible and more, and you notice it more. Because of the hormonal things and stuff like that. So one day they're angry and one day they're smiling and stuff. Is this, is this correct or not?
Well, different. You have the male body and the female body in the material world, they all come with their specific package. So you have, you know, the male mind, you know, there's the ego. You know, the male ego is something that's very sensitive. So you have to treat it in a specific way. And then when you get to a female body, we know that the females, you know, the mind sometimes can go on and on. And that's just the conditioning of having a female form or having a male body. So females generally, yes, sometimes they get driven by emotions. It's more easily visible. Females express it. Whereas the men, they can keep it in and act like everything is fine. Like they're not ready to like talk about it all the time. Ladies talk about it all the time. Like ladies talk, like it's just like, ladies can get together and just go on and on. This is something that just intrigues the male species. They don't understand how women can just talk and talk and still do everything else. But they'll still talk. But, you know, we all, the modes attack everyone. Yeah, and you do have some women who don't get as elated by happiness or distress. And you get men who get very elated by happiness and distress, as if they have a female body. So it's just mixed. Either way, yeah, either way, because of the different natures, because of the different build-up of the material body, females will act in a specific way and males will act in a specific way. But when you understand that we shouldn't get too excited, when we learn the process of devotional service, we're controlling our mind and our senses. So although in the early phase or in our early lives, we were driven by our hormones, we're driven by, you know, we have our passion in life, we want to travel, etc., we want to experience things. When you control your mind and senses, you get to understand, okay, I should do this, I should do that, and you're not elated when this happens, nor do you get perplexed or in a distressed situation when things don't happen. You learn to be equipoised. You learn to control your mind and your senses. Because you know, it's coming and going. Whatever you're getting in this world, it's coming and going. It's already been alluded to you by higher arrangements. So you learn how to control your mind and your senses. And your activities also become controlled. But if you don't have that understanding, then you're just all over the show. Yes, sure. Right, confirm. Same thing, people like Srila Prabhupada? No. Although they're living in this world, they're not of this world. So the modes of material nature, they're situated in a place, but they don't become overwhelmed. You never see, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he wouldn't drop dead, or when something didn't work out, or when this is working out, we're going to celebrate. He was always equipoised, and he always understood this is Krishna's arrangement. So when we get affected by the modes of material nature, it means we're identifying with this body, we're claiming that we're this body, that we're the main enjoyers, etc. Whereas with highly elevated personalities like Srila Prabhupada, they never claim proprietorship. And therefore, they don't experience intense longing, intense suffering, because they're not identifying with the sense perceptions or with the physical sense objects, because they're knowing it's Krishna's energy and they know how to utilize it. So Srila Prabhupada would utilize so many different things. Srila Prabhupada would take rest. Srila Prabhupada would, you know, do his morning walk. He would do so many different things, but he never got attached to the modes of material nature, because he understood they have a role to play, and he was already above those modes of material nature. Although, you know, we see sometimes he'll be sick, or he had his heart attacks when he was traveling in the Jaladuta, etc. That's not to say, you know, well, then is Prabhupada, is he pure because he's getting sick and the modes are acting on him? You know, when you get to fully surrender to Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna will treat you in a specific way, and everything that's happening to you is under the direct sanction and order of Krishna. So Krishna is arranging our purification personally. So the reactions that we will get, or the different sufferings we'll get in devotional service, this is all orchestrated by Krishna to purify us and bring him closer to him. And with the pure devotees, Krishna will arrange their life in such a way that he will glorify his devotee. Like Srila Prabhupada would say, you know, Lord Chaitanya could have spread this Sankirtan movement, but he left some work for us to do. So Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord was magnifying his devotion. Right, he put Prahlad Maharaj in a specific family, and he was showing us how to become tolerant in every situation. When we get attacked, whether it's our own mind, our family, our friends, etc. So in that instance, he's magnifying the qualities of his pure devotee. Or with different examples we find with Ambarish Maharaj, with Maharaj Chitraketu, Krishna will glorify their activities by putting them in a specific situation, but they're not attached. They're not attached to only having a specific situation and then they'll serve Krishna. So like that. So the pure devotees specifically, their entire life is orchestrated by Krishna personally, and Krishna is personally arranging them to serve in a specific way. So they don't get attached to living in one place, to only doing one type of service. They're attached to Krishna's devotional service. Yeah, well, if you want to understand Krishna as an impersonal person, if you want to be taken down to the lower species, Krishna arranges that. He'll give a philosophy that is meant to bewilder people. Right? He can't force us to love him. So if we nag Krishna and say, Krishna, I want to experience this, I want to have this body, Krishna says, fine. You have your free will, you have your independence. So we don't have to, out there, people don't have to beg Krishna. The sun is already there, they're getting their food, they're getting their air. Krishna is already maintaining everyone. Okay, we'll end there. Yes? Full devotional service. So we have to get to a point where everything stems from attentive chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everything. So all our offenses come from how we're chanting Hare Krishna. Our attentiveness in our service comes from how we're chanting Hare Krishna. Our desire to hear about Krishna and read about Krishna comes from our chanting. So if we want to elevate ourselves, we just keep following the process given by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. We perform the rules and regulations, and those are meant to guide us, to gradually elevate us to the platform where we're not affected by the modes of material nature in our different activities. So we keep following the process given by Srila Prabhupada and how he's explained it in his books, and then we won't get affected by the modes. Yeah, so Krishna says if we want to pass over this ocean of intense suffering, of intense misery, the only way, literally the only way we can do it is if we take shelter of Him. Because this external energy is insurmountable. It's difficult. By our own strength, it's just difficult to overcome. But if we approach Him, then He'll help us. It's very difficult. Although we're pure, we have our Satchidananda form, but we're covered, we're not relating to it. But if we approach Krishna, Krishna will help us relate to our pure form, to our pure character. And we won't want to associate with material nature anymore. We'll have something higher. Okay, Grantavat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.